May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us this morning, hour, and always. Let us quiet the thoughts of our minds and join our hearts together in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, we, Thy children, this morning hour, uplift our hearts to thank and to praise Thee. To thank Thee for this new day of grace that we have received by Your hand. To thank Thee for all of the blessings of this life. To thank Thee for the gift of life. To thank Thee, dear Father, most of all, for Your dear Son, who came into this world, who lived as we live, and yet was without sin, who gave His life on that middle cross of Golgotha, shed His blood, was placed into the grave, and was victorious over sin and death, and arose on that third day, and 40 days later ascended into the glory of heaven. And there we believe by faith that He sits upon Your right hand and makes prayers on our behalf. Dear Father, this day that You have given us, we ask that You would bless our gathering this morning hour, that You would give words to speak, that You would give ears to hear and hearts to believe that which You see good for this moment of our lives. Dear Father, we thank You for the fellowship of Your children, that each one of us has escorts in our walk of faith, that we would not need to find the way on our own, but that we would have those of Your children to help us on that way which leads to eternal life in heaven. Dear Father, we pray as Your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shall read a few verses from the Word of God recorded in the Psalm of David, the 139th Psalm. The last two verses of that text with that prayer of faith that the Heavenly Father would give unto us His Word for instruction and comfort. And we hear these words read in Jesus' name. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. During this week that we have lived, we have been able to see and experience the mysteries of God's creation when the snowbanks are melting, and we are able to hear now as the birds return their songs and they begin to look for a place where they would raise their young. We can see new life coming forth. We can also remember those loved ones of ours who have recently been called to the eternal rest of the righteous, as we remembered this morning and last Sunday morning, a couple of elders who have laid down the cross and received a crown of glory. the promise to a child of God, one who believes in this life. There are promises for this life. There are blessings of this life. And there is the reward of eternal life in the glory of heaven. And we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the lives of these ones, for their offspring and their loved ones. And we thank the Heavenly Father that they have been able to sleep away, believing their sins forgiven in the name and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's also a prayer that you and I have, that we also would be able to believe day by day, moment by moment, and one day leave this life to be taken by the angels into the glory of heaven, the rest of the righteous. Last evening, for those of you that were able to gather here for the wedding of two believing young, we are also able to see again the beauty of God's kingdom, and we were able to see the blessings that God has now given to two young who before God and His congregation exchanged vows to love one another in prosperity and adversity, or we could say in good times or in times of trial, until death do they part. We can see the love that God has kindled in those young. And for those of us that have been given a spouse, whether it was a short time ago or many years ago, we were able to hear again of the beautiful gift that God gives when He gives a believer as a life's companion. And I think there were some of us sitting there in the bench making new promises that we would continue to care for our spouse, the one that God has given, perfect for us, with much forgiveness, patience, and love. And we were there with thankful hearts for the blessings that we have received. In David's life, he received and he experienced many of the same things that you and I receive and experience. Sure, he lived in a different day in this world. He did not have all of the modern conveniences that we have. And yet David, when he was a shepherd boy, he was content to sit on the hillside with the father's sheep and care for them as his own. And God blessed David and gave David the gift of music, and gave David the gift to write verse. And David was able to create and to sing many beautiful psalms there throughout his life. David was also called to be a king. And David served God and his children in that role that he had been given in societal life, as a believing man. And also we know through God's word that David was a sinner, just as you and I are also sinful people. In this 139th Psalm, David speaks about God and how God's Spirit also guides in his life. And he confesses in this psalm how God is the giver of life and knows all things of our life even before we are conceived. And then in those two verses that we read, it is a prayer of David that he would be able to remain in faith. But David knew the temptations of this life, and he knew of his sin-corrupt portion, and he prayed that God would remove those things that would take his faith, that God would know him, and that God would search him, and that God would lead him in the way everlasting. I believe that is a prayer that the Heavenly Father still hears today. Maybe when we go to our night's rest, sometimes we are tired and we forget to pray. But especially when life is a little bit more difficult, when there have been trials, when there has been the loss of a loved one in death, even though one was believing, when there's great joy of that victory that they have won, we sorrow and we grieve. It's a reminder of the Heavenly Father that our life here is not forever. And I think when we have those thoughts in our minds, then we pray. Or when we have difficulty in our endeavor of faith, then we remember to turn to the Heavenly Father and pray. Or when our children, if God has blessed with children, when they have given us reason to pause in our life and we have worried about them, then we remember to pray. When there seems to be not enough for our temporal life, or when something has happened in our temporal life and it seems that we lack, then we turn to God in prayer. So I think many of you, together with me, would wish that life would be easy, that we would have enough in the temporal sense, that our spiritual life would be good, and that we would live day by day an easy endeavor of faith. But I found in my life when things are going quite well or easy, that then I forget to turn to the Heavenly Father and ask Him for His guidance and ask Him for His will in my own life. So maybe trials are allowed to come into our life and difficulties come into our life so that we turn to the Heavenly Father and ask Him to guide and to lead. That we remember to believe it when we pray, Thy will be done. That we would accept God's will in our lives as He answers. I think also in our spiritual life there can become times when we worry and we are more doubt-filled than other times, especially when the day that we live, we pray that we would have much patience, that we would be long-suffering to one another, that we would have love for one another, and that we would speak in a way that builds up God's congregation and gives hope. Recently, we have visited in our own congregation numbers of times in the last month at our annual meeting and then in a couple of congregation discussions where we have been able to speak what is on our minds and our hearts. And I know together with me today are those who sometimes, when we listen, we realize how the Heavenly Father redirects our thoughts. And He reminds us to walk in the center of the flock. What does it mean to walk in the center of the flock? Let's use the example of David as a shepherd boy. when David would be there caring for the sheep on the hillside, he would lead them to green pastures. He would lead those sheep to the refreshing waters. And those sheep would often be there together, and they would be at peace. And David would observe how there would be those sheep who were content to simply be there together with the other sheep, eating that green grass that God had given, or drinking that refreshing water that the shepherd had led them to. And then there would have been those sheep that had a nature to run off, or a sheep that became curious, or who wandered off and found themselves in a difficult place where they were not able to return and began to cry. And David would have had the tools of a shepherd boy, and he would have gone to find that sheep that was crying and would bring that sheep and carry that sheep back to the center of the flock where that little lamb could be at peace with the others. This is the picture that is in my mind when I hear or when I think or when I speak of the center of the flock. It is a place that is safe from the roaring beast, the wolf or the lion, which is lurking about on the outside of God's kingdom, around the border looking to capture one of the sheep that begins to wander off. Neither do we want to say that we would be in the center of the flock because we are better than the others. But I think that we would desire to be in the center of the flock, that we would be able to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd when the voice is heard amongst the sheepfold. Jesus told his disciples and the listeners that I am the Good Shepherd, that I know my sheep and my sheep know me. They hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and they follow him. I think that when we have been called to serve in God's congregation or in God's kingdom, and we are obedient to that call in whatever way we have been called to serve, that it is a way for the Heavenly Father to take care of us as His little lambs. I thought when we were building this church, and we were together building this church, and we got to know one another from the heart, and also from temporal life, even of our natures, how we found even in building that there was a place of refuge with God's children. So it was good when we were kept busy in building this church that we came together again and again with God's children to have fellowship and also to be together to visit about the way and the journey of faith. I thought when we've been called to come to church cleaning, and it's not always this way that we're here with others, but that when we're here, even in the kitchen or at church cleaning, that we have a duty to do amongst God's children, something that we would not have done if we would not have been asked. Or for those of you who have taught the little lambs this morning in Sunday school, the Heavenly Father gave you a duty so that you would be aware of His Word. This morning you did not come to teach Sunday school with your own words that might be heard in grade school or in middle school or in high school, but you came to visit with the children with God's Word. God brought you there together with the children so that you would have fellowship and that you would remember the most important matter in your life and that you would share it with the children. In this way, God brought you teachers together here this morning to be in the middle of His flock. To the Sunday school teachers, to the Bible class teachers, to the board members or the servants of the Word, we all experience the battle of the endeavor of faith. But it is good that God has called us to serve in whatever way He has called us so that we could travel in the middle of His flock, that we could be surrounded by the other sheep, and that we would be there to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd in the congregation, that we could even cry out with our own personal psalms and be encouraged and uplifted and strengthened in our walk of faith by the other children of God who are also in the same endeavor as we are. In the beginning of this psalm that David wrote, he says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Dear child of God here today who is traveling together in God's congregation, the Heavenly Father has called you to be His own. He knows the cares of your heart. He knows the worries of your mind. He also knows of your trials and temptations. But He has searched you, and He has found you amongst the millions of this world, and He has called you to be His own. And He has placed you in His congregation here in this life. He knows you by name. God's Word says that He knows you so well that when a hair falls from your head, He knows. He knows all things of your life. And He has called you to be His own. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. We remember the disciples also, how the disciples also had these special calling in this life. They had been called from their walk in the world. Some were fishermen. Another was a tax collector. Each had a profession in this life, but they were called to be disciples of Jesus. They were able to see how He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He gave strength to the lame, those who could not walk. The deaf were able to hear. The blind received their sight. And as Jesus told the disciples of John to go and tell him that the poor have the gospel preached to them. So this was what the disciples were able to see in their endeavor of faith. And this is what the disciples experienced in the day that God had given them. And yet the disciples were also like you and I. The disciples, at numbers of time in Scripture, it records how the disciples began to visit amongst each other, of which one of them is the greatest. One time when the disciples had visited about which one of them is the greatest, and Jesus was not with them, when they had gathered together later in the day, Jesus turned to the disciples and He asked them, What was it that you visited about or debated with each other as we traveled on the way? I would suspect if I would have been one of those disciples that I would have hung my head in shame, that now I need to tell my Lord and Savior that which He already knows. But they answered, and Jesus spoke to them and loved them, and He called a little child to come on before them, and He took that little child up in His arms, and He said to them that a little child is the greatest in the kingdom. I would guess that the disciples, one by one, each one of them personally, felt ashamed when they had thought of which one of them would be the greatest. But Jesus did not tell them to go away. So they were faulty and they were sinful. But Jesus lovingly called them to Him, and He spoke to them. He lovingly rebuked them. And He took a little child who does not have much understanding, as you and I would understand, or do not have minds that are able to reason of the things of this life, as you and I are able to reason, or they have not received education from books and from scholars, that you and I may have received from books and scholars and teachers. But Jesus told those disciples, and He reminds you and I today, that a little child is the greatest in the kingdom. When the mothers and fathers wished to bring their little children onto Jesus during the time of His public ministry, the disciples saw that Jesus was tired, and they thought it would be best that the mothers and fathers would not bring their children to Jesus, that He might be able to rest. And Jesus said unto the disciples, and He rebuked them and said, "Allow the little children to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Now back to you Sunday school teachers, do you believe that the Heavenly Father entrusted you this morning to care for the greatest in the kingdom? The Heavenly Father called you to teach these little children, even these smallest children who are innocent yet in this life. You were called to bring them to the feet of Jesus. God entrusted you to care for them and to teach them of His love and of the love of His Son and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and His precious atonement blood. Could you teach those little children if you did not first that believe that for yourself? I know there is not one here that would dare say that you would teach if you have not first believed. God's Word also gives a warning. When Jesus spoke about those little children in another place, He said that it would be better that a millstone would be tied about your neck and you would be drowned in the sea than you would offend one of these little ones. If you would lead a little child, an innocent child, a gift of the Heavenly Father, an undying soul, away from the Good Shepherd, it would be better that you would be drowned in the sea. So then a child of God can become afraid. That am I good enough to teach? We feel our own struggles. We feel our own doubts. We feel temptation, and we feel the weight and the burden of sin. And we become afraid. But the Heavenly Father does not want us to be afraid. His Son, Jesus, said, "Fear not, little flock, it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven." So to the poorest, to the weakest, to one who is doubt-filled this morning hour, the Heavenly Father says to you, "Fear not, for it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Uplift your hearts to believe all sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, and be of good courage. Do not look for anything good in yourself, but accept that the Heavenly Father who has made you knows you. He knows of your struggles, and He has given you His kingdom. He has called you from the world, from the broad way, to walk in His kingdom on the narrow way that leads to life, the eternal reward in heaven. And we can say, as David says in this psalm that we have read this morning, that Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. And then David concludes those thoughts with prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Dear child of God this morning, you who feel that you are unworthy to be one of God's children, but today with a thankful heart, you wish to thank Him and to praise Him for what He has done for you. You can join in that prayer that David has, that the Heavenly Father would search you and know you, and that all of those things of this life, all of those things of your mind, that those things that would lead you from His kingdom would be taken from you, and that you would be able to remain with God's children as one of His little lambs all of the days of your life. And in this congregation of God, with the name of a child of God in our hearts, we receive in this life the greatest blessing, the blessing of the peace of conscience, where sin no longer burdens us when we put it away when it comes and troubles. And when we believe all of our sins forgiven, it is not with our own strength or with our own power or with our own understanding or our own might, but it is in the precious atonement blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remain believing in this way. Personally, just as you are, all of your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And you can believe unto peace, unto freedom, and unto joy in the Holy Spirit. And when troubles come, God has given you escorts to walk together with you. And I even have had this thought recently, being at the wedding of a young couple, how sometimes the enemy of souls comes into our lives and we struggle in our own married life when we have our difficulties with the one that God has given to us. But then we can ask the Heavenly Father to restore that childlike mind in us and give us that love that burned on our wedding day so that we could put away our own and love that one you have given us as ourselves. Dear brother and sister this morning, I have also come with many worries and my own temptations and the doubts that are often so close. And often I wonder that would I be able to make it together with you. To the shore of heaven, and I ask, can I believe all my sins and faults forgiven? I wish to believe as a child in God's kingdom, and I thank Him that He has given me His kingdom and escorts who lift up the hands when they hang down and who strengthen the weak knees, as the writer to the Hebrew writes. And the Hebrew writer also says in this way, come boldly to the throne of grace. So, dear child of God, come boldly again and again to the throne of grace to hear that message that is only offered in God's kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit, that all sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And we believe in this way we are able to travel as little children, greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close in closing prayer and benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you have given us this day. Dear Father, if there is yet one who hears these words, who does not have a believing heart, dear Father, open unto them where they can also find peace, that they would be able to hear that freeing message of your gospel from your children, that sin of unbelief would be forgiven in the name and blood of your dear Son, that they also might walk together with us. Comfort each one of us moment by moment, and help each one of us to do that which we have been called to do, without honor and glory to man, but only to honor and glory of you and your Son. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.